Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Janie.
And I'm Alex. Today we've got something really fascinating to dive into.
We're talking about rotavirus, which, you know, sounds like something most people might not think about every day, but it's actually a huge deal, especially for kids.
Right. So rotavirus causes severe gastroenteritis and diarrhea in young children. We're talking over 215,000 deaths per year globally. That's massive.
Absolutely massive. And what's really cool about this study is that researchers found a new piece of the puzzle about how our immune system fights back against rotavirus.
Yeah, so the key player here is something called the prefoldin complex. Now, prefoldin it's basically a molecular chaperone. Think of it like a protein that helps other proteins fold correctly.
Right, like origami, but for proteins.
Ha! Exactly like that. So scientists already knew prefoldin helped fold actin and tubulin, which are important for cell structure. But this study discovered something completely new.
It turns out prefoldin also plays a role in our antiviral immune response. Specifically, it helps produce interferon-stimulated genes, or ISGs.
And ISGs are crucial, right? They're like the frontline defense when a virus invades our cells.
Exactly. So here's where it gets really interesting. The researchers found that rotavirus has this protein called VP3. And VP3 is sneaky. It actually binds to prefoldin and blocks it from doing its job.
So it's like the virus is hijacking our own defense system?
Pretty much. VP3 competes with another protein called UBA3 for binding to prefoldin. And when VP3 wins that competition, it prevents the production of those important ISGs we talked about.
Wow, so the virus essentially disarms part of our immune response. That's brilliant from an evolutionary standpoint, even if it's terrible for us.
Right? It's fascinating how these viruses evolve these strategies. Now, the researchers did something really clever to prove this. They used CRISPR to knock out prefoldin in cells.
And let me guess, the virus replicated way better in those cells?
Bingo, without prefoldin, the cells couldn't mount a proper interferon response, so the virus just went to town. But here's the kicker. They also identified the exact part of VP3 that binds to prefoldin.
Oh, that's huge for potential treatments, isn't it?
Absolutely. They pinpointed two amino acids, positions 671 and 677 on VP3, that are critical for this interaction. When they mutated those amino acids, the virus couldn't suppress the immune response as effectively.
So, theoretically, if we could design a drug that targets that interaction,
we might be able to help the immune system fight back more effectively. And what's really cool is that this mechanism might not be unique to rotavirus. The researchers found that other viruses were also affected when prefoldin was knocked out.
So we're potentially looking at a broad-spectrum antiviral target here. That's the kind of discovery that could have massive implications.
For sure. And you know what I find really elegant about this study? It's not just about rotavirus or even just about prefoldin. It's revealing this whole pathway we didn't know about before.
The prefoldin UBA3 IRF9 ISG axis, right? That's a mouthful. But basically, it's a chain reaction that leads to antiviral defense.
Exactly. And each link in that chain is now a potential therapeutic target. The researchers showed that when you knock out UBA3, you get the same effect as knocking out prefoldin. The immune response is weakened.
I'm curious about the methodology here. How did they actually figure all this out?
Great question. They used something called tandem affinity purification coupled with mass spectrometry. Basically, they pulled out VP3 along with everything it was binding to and then identified those binding partners.
And that's how they found prefoldin was the top binding partner.
Yep. 5 out of the 8 proteins they identified were actually part of the prefoldin complex. That's a pretty strong signal that something important is going on there.
And then they validated it with multiple different techniques. Immunoprecipitation, biolayer interferometry,
they really nailed down that this interaction is real and direct.
Right, and that's so important in science. You can't just rely on one experiment. They also tested this in actual rotavirus infections, not just with overexpressed proteins.
What about the animal studies? Did they test this in living organisms?
They did. They created mutant viruses with those amino acid changes we talked about and tested them in neonatal mice. The mutant virus was less effective at replicating, which supports the whole model.
So we've got the cell culture data, the knockout experiments, the structural predictions, and the animal validation. That's a pretty comprehensive study.
Absolutely. And they even used human intestinal enteroids, which are basically mini guts grown in a dish, to show this works in human tissue.
That's wild. So where does this leave us in terms of practical applications?
Well, the authors suggest this could be exploited for broad-spectrum antiviral therapeutic development. If we can find a way to block VP3 from binding to prefoldin or stabilize the prefoldin-UBA3 interaction,
we might have a new class of antivirals. And given that rotavirus still causes so many deaths in children worldwide, especially in developing countries, this could be really significant.
For sure. And you know, what strikes me about this is how it shows the importance of basic research. Like, who would have thought that studying a protein folding chaperone would lead to insights about antiviral immunity?
That's such a good point. Science is full of these unexpected connections. You start by asking one question and end up discovering something completely different.
Exactly. And this study also highlights how viruses and hosts are in this constant evolutionary arms race. The virus evolves VP3 to hijack prefoldin, and presumably our immune systems are evolving countermeasures.
It's like a molecular chess game that's been going on for millions of years.
I love that analogy. So before we wrap up, let's talk about what's next. The researchers mentioned that more work is needed to understand exactly how UBA3 controls IRF9 production.
Right, they think it might involve netylation, which is a type of protein modification. That's another potential therapeutic target if they can work out the details.
And they also want to explore whether this competitive inhibition strategy is used by other pathogens. If it is, that could open up even more avenues for treatment.
This is why we love science, right? One discovery leads to 10 more questions.
Absolutely. So to sum up, we've learned that prefoldin, which we thought was just about folding proteins, actually plays a crucial role in antiviral immunity through this UBA3, IRF9 pathway.
And rotavirus has evolved a clever way to sabotage this system using its VP3 protein. But now that we know how it works, we might be able to develop new treatments.
Exactly. This research was published in Nature Communications, and it's a collaboration between researchers at Washington University, Stanford, and Baylor College of Medicine.
Really impressive work from the team led by Dr. Siwon Ding and colleagues. Thanks for breaking this down with me, Jamie.
Always a pleasure, Alex. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Origine podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and share it with anyone who might be interested in cutting-edge virology research.
Until next time, stay curious.
Stay curious.